Okay, so B'siyata D'Shmaya, with the help of the Master of the World, we'd like to begin with this week's Inner Dimension Shir in Parshas Yisro, where, like every week, we try to take a few pieces from the Tzaddikim, from the early Hasidic Masters, and to quickly and succinctly try to cover a few teachings from this broad spectrum of Tzaddikim on the weekly Parsha, to try to cull some relevance and some practical direction that we can gain from the inner meaning of these verses. So we begin this week with the Heilige Ishbitzer, with the Me'ah Shiloach, Rav Mordechai Yosef Liner of Ishbitz, like we usually do, with the pasuk Lo Tasun Es Elokei Zav, Elohei Chesef Elohei Zav, V'chulu Mizbeach Adam Atasali. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you shall not go ahead and to form any gods, any idols, right? Gods with lowercase g, of Kesef, of silver, not any idols of Zav, of gold. Rather, Mizbeach Adam Atasali, make a Mizbeach Adam, an earthen Mizbeach, an earthen altar, Tassali, v'chudu b'chol makam asher asker Hashemi, in any place that you will go ahead and mention my name and speak out my name in prayer, avo elecha, I will come to that place, uverachticha, and I will bless you. So the Me'ah Shiloach says that the inner dimension of this pasuk is as follows. Elohei chesef, this concept of Elohei chesef, which literally means an idol made of silver, but it means something deeper as well. Hainu, what this refers to is gavun ahava, the hislavus yoser mekefi ma'amadcha. Idols can be something that a person makes physically, that a person values, that a person may even bow down before, right? We have no hasaga, an understanding of what this desire was, to serve these physical things, but in previous generations, it was a very, very big compulsion and a big desire that they had. So on a certain level, on a surface level, that's certainly what it means. But over here, the Me'ah Shiloach says that Elohei Chesef, Chesef is always connected to the concept of Chesed, to the concept of loving kindness, whereas gold, not silver, but gold is gevura. Gold is darker. Gold is heavier. Gold is something that is always connected to the concept of gevura, of strict judgment and harshness and severity, ultimately. Says the Me'ah Shiloach, Elohei Chesef, an idol of Chesef, would mean that a person is not being true to the sense of the manner in which they feel love toward God, to the sense in which they feel kindness toward other human beings, but it's all a show. It's on the surface. It's an idol in the sense that it's fake. That it's something that cannot help a person, just like an idol is not going to go ahead and bring to a person all the things that he's praying for. It's just fake. It's sheker. It's sheker in l'raglayim. It's not consequential in any way. Elohei chesef means an idol of kindness, an idol of love, that a person is demonstrating that they're on a certain level where they're, which in fact they're very distant from. Yoser mekefi ma'amadcha, far greater than a person's level, and it's all bachutz. It's all a demonstration of a person's perhaps holy desire, but ultimately it emerges as a falsehood. And the Gemara says in Brachas, Kein chavrusa klape shmaya. There's no such thing as being buddy-buddy with heaven. Of course, the tzaddikim on a certain level, when they really engage with the deep love and the natural passion that a Jew is supposed to feel toward God, but it was true by them. And they had that relationship with God where it was a friend, kibiyachal relationship. But a person who walks around all the time and hasn't worked on this and hasn't developed it, and also, just like in human relationships, hasn't made the sacrifice, hasn't made the necessary actions that are tough sometimes to fortify a relationship, and then they come into contact with that person and they try to act on the surface like, oh, like, oh, you're my best friend, and it's all flattery and it's all fake on the outside. That's Elohei Chesed, Ein Chavrusa Klape Shmaya. A person doesn't immediately come to this place where you're buddy-buddy with God. Ve'en Hashem Yisbarach Ma'ayiv Esa'adam. And a Kodesh Baruch who doesn't express the love that he does the emes feel for a person, Rakim Ha'emes Ito. HaKadosh Baruch Hu values truth. He values things as they are. Matzah is so holy in Yiddishkeit because matzah is not puffed up and it's not blown out of proportion. It just is, and that's the holiest thing. Even though chametz may look a lot more impressive, chametz is puffed up, chametz is more expensive than matzah. Matzah is lechem oni, it's the poor man's bread. But God descends to the place of a broken person. God descends to the ani, to the pauper. Tfila the ani ki yatov. Elohei chesef, an idol of love. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't play that game with me. Elohei Zav, and the other thing is also true. Don't make for me idols of gold. Gold, we already said, is hinting and related to the concept of gvura, to the concept of yira shamayim. Hainu gvun yira yoser mikafi ma'amadcha. Not just a person who is kal, who is light, and approaches the relationship with God as something that's not so consequential because he's my best friend. The opposite is also true. A person who expresses yira yoser midai, which we discussed a little bit last week, a person who pretends to be this gigantic yira shamayim when in truth, not just in public, a person is supposed to act in a way of Yerushalayim. But the question is, what about in Seser? What about in private? So Lehei Zav, this idol, this fake sort of expression of Yira Yosem Mekafi Ma'amadcha, where you're pretending to be some awesome Yerushalayim, when in truth, that's not the way you are. And that's not the level that you're holding in. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that also. That's not the proper way. What does God want? What does God want in a relationship with us? No theatrics. Rak mizbeach adama tasali. Very much like the matzah. Make for me something simple. Make for me something sincere. And it may not be impressive, and it may not look in the outside like the big puffed up chametz, and people are not going to pat you on the back, and you're not going to win an award. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want them as mizbeach adama. I want the brokenness of your emes, of the true sincerity, and the true nature of your real honesty of who you are at the core. Rak mizbeach adama tasali. Adama hainu pshitas, just earth, just simple. Kamayishu b'levavcha, exactly what's in your heart, not less and not more, but what is. Then God says, "B'chol ha'makom asher askir, in any place that you'll mention my name, I will come upon you and I will birachtich, I will bless you." Says the Heilige Me'ach Shiloach, askir could mean to mention my name, says God. But askir also contains within it the letters Zayin Chav, which spell the word Zach, which means to purify. Askir humilashon birer, to clarify, to purify. Hainu, b'chol makom, says God, not that you'll mention my name, but rather, Azgir eshemi, that you will clarify and be mevarer, and this is what Esbodidus is for, to set aside some time, to talk it out with God, to talk everything as it is, not to pretend, not when you're surrounded by other people watching the way that you daven, for example, or watching the way that you perform mitzvahs, but just time alone to be who you are, no pretenses, no pretending, no theatrics, to stand in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu with a mizbeach adama, like a little piece of matzah, the lechem oni, the brokenness of being. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, in that place asher askir, that you'll clarify, that you'll express your true nature, where I'm going to be able to clarify that the words and that the actions and that the thoughts and the feelings that you're expressing have emerged from an akuda in your heart that's l'shem shemayim, that's connected to a place of true sincerity, although, again, it may not look very pretty. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not in it for the beautiful facade. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the emes, the core of it, no pretending. As takef at that moment, says God, Ashelech lecha bracha, I will send upon you blessing over achticha, and I will lift you up, and I will give you everything in the world. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, again, don't make for me the theatrics, not on the side of Ava, not on the side of Yerim, Mizbeach Adama. That's the most important thing that I desire. That's the first piece from the Heilige Me'ach Shiloach. Very important. Let's move on to number two, Me'ach Shiloach, volume one. On the pasuk, V'lo sala b'malos al mizbechi. Do not ascend the mizbeach using steps. Rather, they had to make a ramp. Why? On a simple level, because the Kohanim would walk up onto the steps, and the manner of walking in which a person takes large steps to go from a lower level to a higher level would cause for the revelation, right, of erva, would cause for the legs to be parted, and for a certain busha, for a certain bizayon to come upon the mizbeach. But a ramp is a person can walk in a much more steady way, keeping the legs a little bit closer together. And the Medrash ultimately says that they were wearing pants. It wasn't true that it was a gilui erva. But even so, in a certain way, just taking big steps is a way of gaiva, is a way of walking in a pretentious manner. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want steps. He wanted a mizbeach where a person would have to walk a little bit more carefully and calmly. Says the Me'ach Shiloach, the inner dimension, what this means, not to walk on the mizbeach using steps. Kol halavavo shal Yisrael nekra'im mizbechi. You know what's called the mizbeach? Not just the mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash. Of course that was called the mizbeach. But on a deeper level, and the level of remez, what does the mizbeach represent? The mizbeach represents every single member of the Jewish nation. That we are a Kadosh Baruch Hu's mizbeach. What was the function of a mizbeach? A person went ahead and he took a cow 5 minutes ago, or usually not 5 minutes, so it took a long time, the whole process. But a couple of days ago was out grazing in the field, the lowliness of nature, munching on earth, munching on grass that grows on earth, domain, so me'achai, a lowly behemoth, a lowly animal without any seichel, the inability to speak or to think or to emote, just an animal, physical, dross, lowliness. And the mizbeach takes this animal and converts it to the highest, most exalted kachim, that only Kohanim could eat, that's off limits, that's unbelievably lofty and high, that anything left over from the kabbarnas needs to be burned because it's just beyond this world and needs to be reduced to ashes. It's something that has no shaykhus to this world. The mizbeach is a sort of tool to take the lowliness of physicality and to lift it up to the highest level. Klal Yisrael are a mizbeach. You and I, when we eat, when we drink, when we relate to other people, when we make parnasa, when we build a family, all of the things that a Jew is involved in is this transition of taking the lowliness of this world and lifting it up and sanctifying it and imbuing it with light and imbuing it with meaning. And so all of Klal Yisrael, Kol HaLevavos Shel Yisrael, all of the levavos of the hearts of the Jewish nation, Nikra'im, are called Mizbechi, are called the Mizbeach. Once we understand that the word Mizbeach has a deeper connotation and a deeper meaning. Now we could understand what it means not to walk on the Mizbeach using steps. Because again, like we already said, when Chazal say that the reason that a person shouldn't go on the Mizbeach using steps is because, not because of a literal revelation of Erva, Gilui Erva, because again, there were pans, it wasn't exactly that. But just because there was a level of gaiva, there was a level of walking with big steps, there was a way of walking in a pretentious manner. So once we understand that that's what lo salav malos al mizbechim mala, in an elevated and a lifted up way, in diklipa, in a negative sense of being lifted up and full of oneself. So now we can understand what this means and how this is relevant to you and I today. Do not go ahead and become a bal gaiva and become lifted up and think that you're better or that I'm better than any other member of the Jewish nation. Don't lift yourself up and have a perspective like you're looking down on others from some sort of platform that you've attained or that you dream of attaining one day and that you have a delusion that you've attained. And this is why the pasuk continues, Ashalo tegale ervascha alav, so that you shall not reveal your erva, your nakedness alav upon it. Hainu, because the natural process of a person who attempts to go ahead and relate to other people in a way of gaiva, in a way of putting them down, the truth is he thinks that he's embarrassing that person. He is in that moment is becoming embarrassed at a level that nobody else can embarrass him the way that he's embarrassing himself by revealing this level of pretentiousness that other people look at and they scoff and they laugh at, just like the pasuk by Haman or Ibn Achman brings it down in Torah Vav. Miu zeh ve'ezehu, like, who does this person think he is? To go ahead and to lift himself up, this is called respect. This is called a respectful thing to do. This is called a commendable thing. Adarabba. Al-Yedezeh, through doing such a thing, a person comes, Lidei Busha, a person comes to a self-embarrassment, Shem Tizgoeh al-Shem Echad, when a person goes ahead and is Mizgoeh, and becomes lifted up in a negative, arrogant sense over other Jews, Al-Sofcha, at the end, Shem Teired Madrega L'mata, in that moment, you are becoming lessened, you are Tegale Ervascha, it's like a Busha, you're becoming revealed, there's a certain element of your personality, a certain level of lowliness that's becoming revealed in your way of treating other people, lemata himenu, that pushes you far below this person, even if you were right to look down on this person in a certain aspect. But in that moment that you do such a thing, that you judge a person unfavorably, that you look at the negative in a person, in that moment you become far lower than any lowliness that you thought that you saw in that person. Leisigal ervascha alav, that in that moment there's an erva, there's something very ugly that's revealed about you, himenu, hu yala al makomchan adra, but in that moment, that person takes your place. That place that you thought that you had, that from which you were looking down on the person from that high balcony, this person immediately swaps places with you, and now he's on top and you're below. So lo salav malos al mizbechi. Don't walk with big steps. Don't walk with arrogant steps al mizbechi, because every single Jew is a mizbeach, and every single Jew has intrinsic holiness, and every single Jew is engaged in this process, either consciously or subconsciously or superconsciously, with lifting all of physicality up to the highest level, and therefore there's no reason to look down on any Jew. Miashiloach, volume 2, a lot of pieces from the Ishbitzer this week. A third piece on the opening pasuk, Vayishma Yisro. Our parsha begins with the story of Yisro, the father-in-law of Moshe, who goes ahead and, after hearing the story of the Kriyas Yamsof's Beseder, after hearing the story of Kriyas Yamsof and the Malcham of Amalek, Yisro draws forth, Yisro becomes a ger, and it's an unbelievable honor that's brought to Hashem, because Yisro, as we know, was the chief. Chosen Moshe was the Kohen, right, of Midian. He was the high priest, so to speak, of the idol worshippers. And therefore, when such a person at such a prestigious level draws close, says the Zohar Kadosh, this brought a level of honor and a level of glory to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that nothing else in the world is. And it did. Kadi Asa Yisro. And Yisro came, Va'amar, and he said, Ati Yadati Gadol Hashem. Now I know that God is great, says the Zohar Kadosh. I'm reading outside. He says, Kedenis Yakavis Ala Shma'ila. In that moment, God's name was lifted and elevated in the most glorious, wondrous way. Says the Medrash. This is so important, so fundamental. Says the Medrash and deep. Ha'ahudichsiv, this is what's said in Mishlei, a pasuk, late take, that a late, a scoffer, a cynic, take, needs to be struck. Upesi, and a fool, yarim, should be lifted and should be elevated. Very, very deep pasuk. Just these four words we could talk about and think about for a very long time. A late, a cynic, needs to be stricken. But Upesi, a fool, a simple person, Yarim, is going to be lifted up. Says the Heliga Medrash. Late Taka, the cynic, the scoffer is struck. Ze Amalek, this is referring to the nation of Amalek. Upes Yarim, the fool who gets lifted up, Ze Yisro, this is talking about Yisro. And we see in a very short span of Parshias, you see that Amalek is wiped out, is destroyed, at least on a certain level, a tremendous victory, after Moshe Rabbeinu is holding his hand up in the sky, and Yeshua the Talmud is down in the valley battling and fighting Amalek. There was a victory that was won. Late Taka, the scoffer, which is Amalek, becomes wiped out. And Yisro, right after that, by Yishma Yisro, Yisro is lifted up to an unbelievable level of spirituality. Says the Miyashiloah, something deeper and of course something far more relevant than it appears to be on the surface in our lives. Leitz hu shemeslotzeitz al dvar emes. You know what a leitz is? A scoffer. This is someone who is laughing and ridiculing and belittling dvar emes, the truth. Upesi, the fool, hu hamamin L'chol davar, is the fool who believes everything that he hears, who gets inspired by everything, who becomes, so to speak, drawn and attracted to everything that he's involved in, every idea, every place, blows his mind. He's a pesi, he's a simple-minded person. But Yamin, that says the pasuk, pesi Yamin l'chol davar, a fool believes everything. Now we need to understand that Ushneim einam tovim, says the Me'ashilach. Ube'emes, in truth, both of these have a tzad that's negative. The lates, we don't need to talk about why that's negative, because he'll never be inspired or lifted up or be drawn to any idea or any thought or any religion or any idea within religion or any path in Avodas Hashem or spirituality or philosophy. He'll just stand removed from this place and laugh at everything. Like the Ramchal explains in the beginning of Mesilas Yesharim, Leitz Sanas is like an oiled shield that a person walks around, that any arrow that's shot, even if it should be an arrow that's trying to inject him with holy, not poison, but something that's supposed to lift him up, because of this oiled shield, it would just push everything away. And that's what a scoffer is. A person is mislotzitz and everything. That's clear to us why that's not a good thing. But Upesi also, Yaman L'chol Davar, that's also Inatova, because a person could come to believe in something that's not the truth, that's not ra'oi, that's not fitting or proper to believe in. But he says there's a fundamental difference. Achin ala leitz nemar take. On the leitz, on the scoffer, he needs to be hit. He needs to be whacked. Shehu lo yagil adas chasrono letakno, because such a person will never in the end come to fix that which he came to the world to fix. Achashu misloitz, it's a cold var emes. Because this kind of person is laughing and belittling and scoffing everything. And so even that which is ra'ui to respect, and that which is really fitting to connect to, and to value, and to emulate, even that he'll never have access to. Be'in a shamea klal, and he'll never believe anything at all. Achina pesi, but a fool. Hainu Meshem ispatem, he called davar. He is entranced by everything. Zeyuchal akabala emes, ulagil asakin shorish chasrono. He might go ahead and he might wander for many years, and he might involve himself with many different kinds of long and twisted journeys and paths that take him maybe very far away from the emes. But because of his willingness to engage with life, to choose life every moment, such a person in the end will come to find that emes all the way at the end, because he spent a full life engaging with things, not removing himself by scoffing them and laughing at them and belittling them and pushing them down. But such a person will in the end find that path for which he came to the world, and that thing which he came to the world to fix. So that's why we have to, and we are commanded to wipe out Amalek entirely, because Amalek is the late. Amalek represents this personality that will never find its path, and therefore it's only fitting that such a person and that such a being will not limchoso necessarily, we need to go and kill people, you know, who we perceive to be scoffers, but it's a natural progression of this engagement with the world, is that such a person will be wiped out ultimately. Such a person will look back over a life and find that they never engaged with anything, that they never did anything. Not bad things and not good things, not negative things and not positive things, just never did anything. They never lived a life at all because they constantly spent all their time laughing at everything and scoffing everything, and so in the end they have nothing to hold on to. So they're yimcha in the end. They have no name. They made no impact, not a good impact, not a bad impact. It's like they were never here. Ki lo yatsa mimenu shum tov. Nothing good will come out of such a person. Achin Yisro, but a Yisro personality, shebikesh ladas tachlis hatov, that is genuinely searching. He's searching for a good way. He's searching for something holy, for something deep. Okay, he made a mistake. Rak mitchila hem in ba'akum. In the beginning, he believed in idols. V'havolim and follies of this world. Ah, v'achar kach. But in the end, kishara erom was Hashem izbarach. Because he was a seeker, and he was a searcher, and he perceived life to be a journey, and he perceived himself to be incomplete, not full of himself, like this person that we talked about in the earlier piece from the Me'ashi Loach, walking with steps, walking with big, huge, pretentious, arrogant steps, but he perceived himself to be lacking. He perceived himself to be broken, to be humble, to be the Mizbeach Adama that we talked about in the first piece, the low, simple matzah that's always empty, that's always looking to be filled, that even he could sit at home and he feels homesick because he feels that he hasn't arrived at his proper place. Yet such a person, he'll make mistakes and he'll wander away and he'll fail and he'll connect to things that are hevel. But at the very end, when his journeys will take him to see something that's so beyond and something that's so emes and that has such an effect on his life, in a minute, Amar, he'll say, "Ati adati, now I know." Ata implies that there were previous times where he also was engaged with certain yiddios, with knowledge. But ata means now, at this point in this long and winding journey, finally at this point, ata yadati, now I know that I've come to the true truth, yadati ki gadol Hashem and his gair, and immediately such a person is able to become a gair. And all of us in our lives, I mean, we don't need to think negatively about people, but it's very easy to classify other people who are the Yisro people and Amalek people. There are people in our lives, family members, there are people who we work with, there are people who are just, everything is a joke, everything they belittle, there's nothing valuable. And such people, they very often don't have the natural vitality and vibrancy and passion that little kids have, that little children have for life, which again will take them into dangerous places, and they'll have scraped knees and they'll have broken limbs because they have a joy. But such kids also, when they're at that stage, can do remarkable things, are able to connect themselves to beautiful things, have a natural passion to get up in the morning. And then we know that there are Yisro people, people who are on a journey, people who are searching, people are always trying to engage with any touchstone of a reality that's beyond this world, anything that can take them to feel like they're alive, and they jump at the opportunity. If it's any kivrei tzaddikim, right? For example, everybody asking about the Jews that are running to Uman and to Meiron, what are you looking for? Just sit in the base measures and open a Gemara and learn and do your thing, and where are you running? But this is a Yisro personality, that a person is seeking and searching. You know something? Some people might end up by leaders who are not leaders, and some people might end up engaging with certain ideas in Judaism that are not valid. But ultimately, such a person who's a seeker, who's always searching, they'll come back and they'll find this way because this is what they were looking for the whole time.
I think maybe like there's a little bit of both of us, of both of them in us at different points.
Baruch Shekivant, I was about to get there. I was about to say that each and every individual is a composite of Amalek and Yisro. We have those elements. It's the Yitzhar Har and the Yitzhar Tov, ultimately. The Yitzhar Har is the lates. The Yitzhar Har is that which tries to mock everything, to scoff everything. And we have to consciously try to be magdal, to grow, and to elevate that aspect of the Yitzhar Tov, to be consciously passionate about different things and different opportunities, and to jump at things. There's a concept in the world to be a yes man, right? To go ahead and to say yes to life. And you might lose the lottery, but you can't win if you don't buy a ticket. You might lose, but to win the lottery, you have to play the game. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu would much rather the Yisro person who may even spend many years making a mistake than the Amalek person who doesn't make mistakes but will never win the lottery either. We got to play. We got to play the game. We got to go to Shiurim. We got to find and seek and learn and be open to learning. And we might end up in the wrong places, but more often than not, we'll end up in the right places far more easily than the Amalek person who doesn't leave his room. So, and this is how it is. You know, sometimes parents are so worried when they see that their children and teenagers are exploring and are involved with things that the parents feel are lowly and are hevel, and it's a waste. And they wish sometimes that they would just have a kid who's not as inquisitive and not so as, you know, full of exploration and so full of excitement about this world. Like, you know, a little bit of a boring kid could sometimes be an easier kid, and a kid that will allow you to sleep at night a little bit calmer. But such parents need to remember this piece, to know that in a certain long term, a Moichin de Gadlus perspective, it's far better to have a personality in your charge, a personality that's related to you in some way, that's full of life, because things will straighten themselves out. Yisro the seeker, he might go down the wrong hole, but because he's searching and searching and searching always for the right path, he'll find it in the end. He'll find it. Because at a certain path, at a certain point, if he's engaged with Sheker, he'll understand and he'll feel that this is empty. He'll feel that it's time to move on, to pack up those bags and to sling the sack over the shoulder again and to walk on a new path. He'll understand that it's time to seek new sunsets, you know, in a new place. But that Amalek person will just not make it at all. And that's why, you know, it's unfortunate to see how many kids. I work in a few yeshivas, you know, and Baruch Hashem, you know, I've been blessed with being able to engage with Yisro kids, with kids who are really on fire seeking, and I tell them all the time that I'd much rather a kid who never has a dull moment, not in a good sense, and sometimes not even in a negative sense, than one of those kids that just can't get out of bed in the morning, you know, that just wants to watch Netflix the whole day and has no excitement to do anything in life, because such a person is just, there's nothing to work with. There's nothing there to channel. There's no energy. There's no excitement. There's no passion and vitality, and that's what we're looking for. So that's important to keep in mind, to be magdil, the yisro aspect, to lift that up and to elevate it and to draw it out, and that malik aspect to try to quash and to push down and to quell and to wipe out as much as possible, because it's not going to bring us anywhere. Not anywhere. Certainly not anywhere exciting. The fourth piece from the Dagam Achanei Ephraim. We have a few minutes left. The Dagam says the following. He says there's another Musar, there's another guidance that's hidden within the words Vayishma Yisro, which literally means Yisro heard on a simple level, but it can mean something far deeper. Vayishma. The Pasuk and the Torah and Hashem is telling us, Vayishma, we need to listen well. What should we listen to? Hainu ra'ui lishma tamid lohavan lahaskil. Every person should listen. Doesn't just mean to listen to someone talking, to listen to a sound. But what does a person say when they're talking? What does a person mean when he's in a conversation with a person and he says, I hear you? It means I understand you. Shmiya is connected to the concept of understanding. You understand the person. So Vayishma, what should a person understand? What should a person be mitbonein, to contemplate and to think about? Ulahavan, ulahaskil, and to grow wise over. And the answer is, Vayishma is the question, and the answer is Yisro. Now the word Yisro is a name, but the word Yisro could also be related to the concept of Yisaron, advantage, gain. Yisro, from the Lashon of, like we said, Yisro, Hainu, Mashi Yishalo L'chol Amalo, a person should constantly be thinking about, what's going to be left for me at the end? What's going to be left over? What's the Yeser? What's the gain? What's the advantage? After it's time for us to leave the world, we should all live long and happy and healthy till 120 years old. And at that time, when we look back over life, my Yisron la'adam kol amalo, the Pasuk says. What's left? What's the Yisron? It comes from the word Yisro, right? Yisro and Yisron are connected. Yisaron. What's the advantage? What did I leave behind? Mashi Yisro la'adam kol amalo, of all of my searching, the Yisro kind of person is in and of himself always looking for that gain. But what kind of path are we following? Kol hevel v'rik. We have to be aware that so many of the things that I am engaged in, I have to be aware that so many things that I am engaged in are hevel v'rik, are wasteful, and in the end won't make a difference, not in a week from now, certainly not in a year from now, and certainly decades in the future when I look back, like we talked about the past couple of weeks also. My Yisro-in-law, what's the advantage? What's left from all of it? Ve'im alav and leila adam, and a person needs to constantly remind oneself that by the Levaya, Mitzvah Hashem again, at 120, what are they going to be speaking about? Not all the amount of hours that we put into business and not all the money that we took with us. All those things of sheker. And it's good sometimes to enter into that kind of mindset, not to depress us and to push us into despair. But what would happen if I knew I had 5 minutes to live? How am I spending those 5 minutes? And that's a good benchmark. That's a good indicator to set oneself on a track to say, can I engage with that thing that I'd spend the last 5 minutes of my life doing? Whatever it means. But certainly it's something meaningful. It's not something shtuyot. The person's not going to watch the last 5 minutes of the season finale of whatever it is. You have 5 minutes left to live. If it means, you know, sitting with your spouse, or you're sitting with your kids and telling them how much you love them, if it means opening a safer and engaging in tefillah with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, or any of the mitzvahs that a man or a woman is able to accomplish, you know, the six constant mitzvahs of Ava and Yira, Tzitzis, Tefillin, certainly, like the Gra in those last couple of minutes, he was lifting his tzitzis and stroking them and saying, wow, I could be the biggest neshama in all the spiritual worlds, but I will never get to take physical, like the mizbeach, physical strings and to wear them and to elevate them and lift them up. So those 5 minutes could be a good indicator. So a person has to ask themselves, or remind themselves, or remind oneself, Ein malavan lo adam lekesav lo zav. I can't take any of this with me. And this is not what they're going to speak about at my funeral. Elam hashem esagel b'torah. But this, that a person grew in Torah, and most importantly, v'roe, and he sees to it, l'hadrich banav, to engage with the children in such a way to guide them. Not in a heavy-handed way, which certainly doesn't work in this generation, but in a way to become your kid's best friend, in a way that you should sit with them and to reveal to them the beauty of Yiddishkeit, the wonder and the passion of what it means to be a Yisro person, to be a person that's on fire with life. V'hayyashal lefnei Elokim, and the way that's straight, and the way that's proper to walk in front of God. Zeyishalo. This is what's going to last. Mikol amalo. From all of a person's toil, and if it's parnasa, a person should never come to identify their life as the time that they spend in the office. We always say that the office is only a means to the end of being able then, let's say, just in our society, to take a vacation so that you should spend time with the family. It's right to be able to put food on the table, to be able to have guests for Shabbos. It's only a means toward the end. And so much so, we need to, with our very limited time, to focus on the end and not think so much about the means. What we need to, you know, to make a parnasa, of course, a person needs to do that, hishtadlus, and to daven, and to set aside the time and the requisite, you know, effort that needs to be put into making that parnasa, but ultimately to be aware and to put it in its perspective, it's only a means toward a much, much greater end. And to constantly focus and to think about this. Gam, Yishlomar. So that's one level. Vayishma, what should a person be thinking about all the time? Yisro. What's going to be left from all of this? What's going to be left from my life? What's really a value in this very short period of time that we're wandering around this world? Gam, Yishlomar, another pshat. Vayishma, Yisro. Hainu. Al derech, what we learn, sharo'u ilahavim, that a person needs to focus, ulistakel, and to contemplate, mashahu yisron umoseres lahashlich mi'alav, anything that's extra in my life. You know, there's a concept in the world now, in the physical sense, of being a minimalist, right? It's like a big fad that people want to clear out their houses, and they have, what are they called, professional organizers who come to a house, and they label everything, and they buy all these special things. And minimalists, people don't like living with clutter, because if you live in a cluttered physical space, it affects the way you think. You can't think. It really affects the workspace. If a person has everything neat, and not in an OCD way, but in a healthy way, it really affects your ability to think in a linear and a clear fashion. But there's spiritual minimalism as well. And this goes right back to the first piece that we learned. Not Elohei's chesef, not Elohei's zav, not to be extravagant in your expressions of spirituality, but just to be a minimalist in the sense of mizbeach adama tasali, to be a matzah, to be as you are, tocho kabaro, inside like the outside, just to be who you are. It's such a big thing in the world now, also in the secular world, about vulnerability, strength and vulnerability. And the tzaddikim already talking about this hundreds of years ago. Just to be yourself, that's the most courageous thing in the world. And that's all that God wants from you at the end. It's just to be real, that's it, that is all. And unfortunately, you know, the not to speak bad about any sect and about any portion of the Jewish nation, but unfortunately, in a certain way, the Orthodox, you know, community, for better or for worse, but because it's become so institutionalized and because it's become so much of a society, so much of a focus is put on the externality, so much of a focus is put on the accomplishments, perceived accomplishments in the educational system, in the communal system, but it's all the chitzainius, but the panemius we're missing a little bit, right? The sincerity, the honesty, the brokenheartedness, the simplicity, the tmimus and the pshitas, the sweetness, the gentleness, the spirit of Yiddishkeit, the Shabbos, and not so much the 6 days of the week, which is avoda, avoda, just the Shabbos, the being, not so much the doing. All of that is the mizbeach adama. All of that is the minimalism that in order to be attained needs to be lahashlech me'alav, to cast aside all the things that are yeser, all the things that are extraneous, physically and spiritually, just to be what you are, to be what you say you are. And that means also to be open and honest with other people about your failings, to be open and honest with other people about who you really are, not to claim to be anything that you're not, but just to really just be. Mibayisu michutz, from the inside to the outside. Miksha'acha zahav, you know, just to be golden, from the inside and from the outside as you are. Mizbeach adama tasali, just to be that earthen mizbeach, the simple things. Yisron umosaris lahashlich me'alav, v'leyirdavachem rasaris, and not to run after either these spiritually extraneous things, and certainly not the physical extra things in one's life that a person doesn't really need, extra expenditures, right? To be very, very careful about money, not just to be, to flippantly be trying all the time to gain more things in physicality that, again, a person will not be able to take with them, that don't really matter. To live in a simple way, in a b'chavadik way, in a respectful way, but in a simple way, rakistapik b'mashiyeshlo, to be happy with what you have, v'shulit tzarech, v'kaniska le'el, and what a person needs, v'kalahavin, rather. And this is something simple to understand. So this is the second understanding of v'yishma yisro, which means v'yishma, a person should be contemplating, should always be thinking, what? Yisro, what's extra? What can I get rid of? What can I get rid of, both physically and spiritually, right? There should be like the logo and the slogan for, the minimalist, like v'yishma yisro. V'yishma, a person should always be thinking about Yisro, about what's extra, what to get rid of. But again, it doesn't only mean physically, but also spiritually, how to try to distance oneself from any extravagant expression that doesn't absolutely reflect where you really are and who you really are and what you really want. And if a person is just acting in a certain way because society expects that of him, that's not Avodas Hashem. That's in a certain way Avodas Zara. You're serving someone else. You're serving yourself. You're serving other people. That's not the Avodas Hashem. Avodas Hashem, yashar, straight up, the shivurakim, espodid, the simplicity, to be honest, to be open, mizbeach adama tasali, not to be balgaiva in any way, and ultimately by yishma yisra, to try to contemplate what we can get rid of, what we can distance ourselves from, to return to the inner point, to return to that simplicity, and that's ultimately the most important thing. And so I don't think we'll have time to do the Kedusha Slavi this week, but keep the paper, try to work it out on your own. It's an amazing piece, and it's actually in my book on Sparks from Radicha. This week's parsha is based on this Kedusha Slavi. So, okay, Mirtz Hashem, we'll see you next week. Thank you so much for coming and for listening.